Hey there, welcome to Following the Truth. I'm Gary Zimek, so glad to have you with me. Today is August the 26th. We're going to talk about fear and one of the things that we can do to restore our peace or to have to experience peace in the middle of fear. And what I'm going to use is Psalm 34. We'll read through Psalm 34 and talk about these words written by King David. Now, in particular, what got me started thinking about this today was this this one verse. It's Psalm 34, verse 4. David said this, "I prayed to the Lord, and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears." You know, that's pretty good. That really is a good reminder. And we'll talk about that and really the entire Psalm 34, because there's a lot of good stuff in here. Because we have a man who is afraid, who is in danger, and he ends up seeking the Lord and turning to him in times of fear, and he receives the Lord's peace. His fear is gone. Not his problems, but his fear. And I think for you and me, that is a great message. We can experience peace and a freedom from our fear, even though the problem might not go away. Isn't that a good message? We need to believe that sometimes, because when we have problems in our lives, and look, we all got them. You might not have a serious one now. You might. But if you don't have one now, I hate to break it to you, but it's coming. I mean, honestly, we go through those peaks and those valleys in life where we have times when we struggle with problems. And then there's those periods of smooth sailing. So if you're not going through a problem right now, you're going to have something in your life. If you are, though, I want you to know this. If you turn to God in prayer, asking for help, you will be able to experience his peace, even though the problem might not go away. And furthermore, I have to be totally honest and tell you this, that the fear might not fade all at once, right? It takes time sometimes. So I think that's good to understand. Anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. That's what we're going to talk about on the show today. I hope you're doing well. Hope the day is treating you nicely. Hope you're not afraid. I hope you are just all in all having a good day. I'm having a pretty good day. Managed to have a little nap just for a few minutes, put my head down and went out like a light. Had one of those nights last night where I woke up. I think it must have been about 2 o'clock or so. And by the time I looked at the clock, it was 3:30. You know, one of those nights where I just woke up. I was wide awake, and I struggled. Then I went back to sleep. The alarm went off. I had to do the Sunrise Morning Show on EWTN this morning. And before you know it was time to get up. And then things got set into motion. I went to daily mass today, even though had a few things that came up at the last minute. So I just made it to daily mass. Anyway, that was my day, but I took a nap. I'm feeling good. I'm ready to get started. I'm glad you're able to stop by for the program. Let's turn to our Father in heaven right now. And let's put this into practice. You know, if you have problems, if you're struggling with anything, you may be possibly in the path of the hurricane right now. And certainly we're going to pray for you, for your safety, because this is nothing to mess around with. But you might be feeling that fear. You might have relatives who are in the path of the hurricane, Louisiana or Texas right now. So let's pray. Let's turn to our Father in heaven. Let's present our needs to him, because he's all powerful and he loves us. And let's let him take our fears away. All right, will you join me? In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, we turn to you. We give you glory. We honor you. We praise you. We acknowledge you are all powerful. You are great. We acknowledge you are bigger than any problem that we could ever possibly face. We acknowledge, Father, that you created us solely because you loved us. We acknowledge that you are here. You are listening to us. You want to listen to us. You want to help us. So we turn to you, Father, and present our needs. Ask you to grant us whatever it is that we need at the present moment. We thank you for bringing us up until this present time, this period in time, for taking care of all of our needs so that we would be able to survive from the point of our conception up until now. We have confidence, Father, that you will continue to do so. And so we ask you to do that. Sometimes we will ask for things that we don't really need, that we might just want. But we know you'll give us what we need, not always what we want. We ask you to help us to be able to start knowing the difference and not asking for things that might be excessive, that not might not result strictly from a love of comfort, but to ask for things that we really need and to trust you that you will provide them for us. Father, I ask you to use me as your instrument on the show this day. I ask you to give me the words, give me the message. Please open all of our minds and our hearts to hear and respond to your message. Father, we ask this in Jesus' mighty and powerful name. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you for praying with me. I'm Gary Zimak. You are listening to Following the Truth. When you get a chance, how about if you check out my website, followingthetruth.com, for more information about my work, my books. You can see some video clips of work that I have done in the past. You can also sign up for my daily email devotional, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. You can do all that by going to followingthetruth.com. All right, so I talked about Psalm 34, which is what we're going to talk about on the program today. We'll just go through it. I'm going to highlight a few of the key points. And I want you to keep this in mind, because this psalm gives us advice on how to deal with fear. We're all going to be afraid of something. Sometimes our fears are warranted, sometimes they are not. The reason that God has given us the emotion of fear is really for self-preservation. Fear is meant, I mean, this is the reason we have the emotion of fear. Fear is meant to alert us of a problem so that we can do something about the problem and save ourselves. That's the purpose of fear. It does go haywire, though. And as somebody who has struggled with anxiety in the past and continues to have a battle with anxiety, I mean, that's my nature. I tend to be anxious. Sometimes our fear can be exaggerated. I can be afraid, in other words, when there is technically nothing to fear. You know, and that arises where when we are trying to gain control of an uncontrollable situation, for instance, the weather, we could be trying to predict the future, control something that might happen in the future, maybe pandemic related. And when we realize that we can't control something, then some of us can tend to be overly afraid instead of trusting in God's providence. You know, he gives us the ability to control some things. If it's raining outside, I have the ability to put up an umbrella or go in the house. It's a very simple example. Or if we see thunder, we hear thunder and see lightning and we're outside, we could be afraid that we're going to get struck by lightning, which is a legitimate concern. See, that's an example of legitimate fear, and seek shelter inside. That's an example of how fear can help us. But if I worry that tomorrow I'm going to be diagnosed with terminal cancer, and I just sit and worry about that, well, that's an inordinate fear or an exaggerated fear. It doesn't mean it won't happen, but it means that I don't trust that God will give me the grace to deal with whatever he sends or allows to happen into my life. You see that difference? So we got to watch that fear. Because when we are afraid because we don't believe God's going to help us or that he's going to let something bad happen to us that can't benefit us in some way, when we have that kind of fear, it's going to hurt our relationship with the Lord because we're not trusting him. Let's look at this psalm, Psalm 34. And we'll just read through it, and I'll have some comments on it. So this is Psalm 34. It's written by David. I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. Well, that's a good way to start. That, you know, that's a good way to live your life. I will praise the Lord at all times. And he's writing this at a time when there are dangers present in his life. Are you willing to, like David, praise the Lord at all times, not just when the skies are blue and things are going great? You know, there really is nothing stopping you from doing that. Praising God's not based on feelings. He doesn't say I'm going to feel good all the time. He says, I will praise the Lord at all times, and I will constantly speak his praises. Are you willing to praise God at all times, including when you are suffering or have problems in your life? Again, you can do that, and I recommend you do that. Because everything that happens to you or to me is permitted to happen by God. It's not always his direct will, but he could stop it if he wanted to. And the reason he would let things happen that are unpleasant, the bad things in life, the reason he would let them happen is because he can draw good out of them, or he can draw us closer to him during those times. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. I will boast only in the Lord. If I'm going to boast, I'm not going to boast about anything that I have done or my accomplishments, only to the effect that it will bring glory to God. Look at what God has done with a knucklehead like me. You know, that kind of thing. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together. When I start my prayers, and you heard me do it at the beginning of this program, I always try to give praise to God and talk about how great he is. And we do that not because he needs to hear how great he is, but because I need to be reminded of how great he is. Because if I forget that, and it is so easy to forget that, when you are bombarded with problems and struggles and difficulties, you can easily forget that you serve a God who is bigger than those problems, unless you take a minute and start building him up and talking about how great he is. I prayed to the Lord. This is Psalm 34, verse 4. And he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Isn't that good? Are you afraid? Turn to the Lord. Pray. Ask him to help you. Lord, help me. That would be a good prayer. He will answer you. His immediate answer will be yes, no, or not yet, or wait, whatever you want to call it. You know, he will answer. And sometimes we'll say he doesn't answer. He does answer. We sometimes refuse to recognize his answer. Well, he didn't say anything. Well, that could mean, hang in there, Gar. Give it some time. That's a valid answer. And he freed me from all my fears. Obviously, David's afraid because he talks about being freed from his fears. What did he do to bring that about that freedom from fear? He prayed to the Lord, and he answered me. Jesus said, seek or knock, and ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. He didn't say sometimes you'll get something when you ask. But see, we twist that message. We all do it. We twist the message and say, well, I'm asking. I asked for this new job and I didn't get it. I asked that this girl would go out with me and she didn't. You got an answer. He didn't say you'd get the answer you want. I know it. It's tough. But we, at some point in time, if we're ever going to find peace in life and if we're ever going to get in a good relationship with God, we are going to have to acknowledge that he knows better than we do, and sometimes we will ask for things and be denied because these things are not good for us. And, you know, I know I've heard this all before. Somebody's going to say, yeah, but how could this be bad for me? I was giving a talk one time, and I said, I was praying one time this girl would go out with me, and she didn't. I was praying I would get a girlfriend, and it wasn't happening. And a guy said to me, how can that be bad? That's not a bad thing. How can God say no? Well, at the time, he said no because obviously he had something else in mind or the time wasn't right. He was trying to teach me something. If you're going to be in a good relationship with God, you have got to give him the benefit of the doubt and at some point in time acknowledge that he knows better than you do. But we constantly question him. He's God, but he should do this another way. Why is he letting this pandemic go on for so long? I don't know. But he's God. And I'm going to pray for it to end every day. But I'm still going to trust him. Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. See that? You can worry about your problems or you can look to God for help. If you do that, you're going to be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. And listen, I'm with you, though. I understand that this is not easy. This is a struggle for me. It's work. But honestly, it's work that we have to do. And we need to hear the word of God like this. We need to open up the Bible and hear these inspired words, inspired by the Holy Spirit, because otherwise we're going to be spinning our wheels and not getting anywhere. In my desperation, see, David was desperate. In my desperation, I prayed, and the Lord listened. And you know what? When you pray, he will listen to you too. When I start my prayer at the beginning of this program, I always make mention of that fact. Just about always. That, Father, you are listening to me. And I picture him listening. I got to remind myself of that. You don't want to just jump into the list of gimmies, because then you forget that Almighty God is listening. He saved me from all my troubles. For the angel of the Lord is a guard. He surrounds and defends all who fear him. And of course, that fear doesn't mean I'm scared that he's going to do something bad to me. That fear is a healthy appreciation of the fact that God is God. It's a respect. It's a fear of the Lord in the sense we're talking here about the gift of the Holy Spirit, fear of the Lord, which means I love him so much that I don't want to do anything that would ever offend him. I respect him. He's my dad, and I don't want to let my dad down. That's the kind of fear that David's talking about here. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. Yeah, you're going to have joy if you take refuge in the Lord. Fear the Lord, you his godly people. For those who fear him will have all they need. All they need, not necessarily all they want. Even strong young lions sometimes go hungry. But those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing. And you know, I have to be honest, this is a process that can be brought about through prayer and the help of the Holy Spirit. The changing of our desires to want those things that's good for us and to not want anything that's not good for us, that typically doesn't happen overnight. And we're going to be working on that for the rest of our lives, because we have desires for certain things that are not always good for us. And you know, ultimately, we want to get to the point where it's called spiritual indifference. And some of the great saints were able to practice this. It means not like indifference, I don't care. It means, well, I guess in a sense it does. It means that I don't care if God gives me good health or bad health. I don't care if he gives me a long life or a short life. I don't care if I live with a lot of money, a lot of wealth, or I live in poverty. I am indifferent to what happens to me. What I care about is doing God's will. Oh, that's a tough place to get to, isn't it? But the Holy Spirit can gradually work on us to help us, so that if we trust in the Lord, we will lack no good thing. That does not mean we will have everything that we want. It means that we will get what we need. Sometimes that what we need is a cross. It's sickness. It's poverty. It's struggling. Because God knows what we need. That's why I think it's so important that we work on understanding how much God loves us and pray about that and ask the Holy Spirit to help us really appreciate his love, so that when these bad things happen, we understand. We understand that they are actually for our good. Come, my children, and listen to me, and I will teach you to fear the Lord. Does anyone want to live a life that is long and prosperous? Then keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. Now, I got to have a little disclaimer here. We as Christians, when we look at this, we don't mean that if we are good, if we are faithful, if we follow God's will, that he's going to give us a long life here on this earth. Because there's plenty of good people who follow God's will who die at a young age. And obviously, there's got to be a deeper meaning. You know, some of these psalms, these were written thousands of years ago, before the time of Jesus. Got to look at them. We got to place them in their context. We have to really look at them with our Catholic goggles on, if you will, and understand that what David's talking about here, whether he knew it or not, is a long life with God forever in heaven, in paradise. That's the reward, right? It doesn't mean that if we are good and follow his will, that we're going to live a long life on earth. That doesn't always work out that way. But this is temporary. You know, this is not why we are here. This is just a part of our overall life. It's a hard concept, isn't it? Yeah, a lot of these things aren't easy, but we can believe them by faith. And gradually, if you stick close to Jesus and let him lead you, let him take you by the hand and ask for the help of the Holy Spirit, gradually you can start to believe this. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right. His ears are open to their cries for help. Let me read this. But the Lord turns his face against those who do evil. He erases their memory from the earth. It does not mean that God doesn't love people who are doing evil. That doesn't mean that. He loves them just as much as he loves people who do good. But if somebody is doing evil and not letting God work in their life, they're going to limit his power. Makes sense, right? Plenty of people have conversions. People who are doing evil, don't know God, or atheists, they have conversions, big conversions. And once they let, and until they accept him into, you know, until they accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, he's limited. He's not going to do a lot in their life because he wants them to get to the point where they do accept him. But once they do, it doesn't mean he loves them anymore. It means that he is now free to work in their lives. He loves the criminal, the mass murderer, the child abuser. I know that's rough to that's one of those ultimate examples. The terrorist, as much as he loves someone who does good, as much as he loves Mother Teresa, loves them the same. I know it's wacky. It's hard for us to understand. He doesn't love their actions if they're sinning. But he loves them as a person. And that, when you start thinking about it in those terms, the terrorist and Mother Teresa, he loves them the same. That's unconditional love. Man, that's not the way we as humans love, is it? Well, that's the way God loves. The Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. Again, that message is underscored. He rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. The righteous person faces many troubles, but the Lord comes to the rescue each time. For the Lord protects the bones of the righteous. Not one of them is broken. Calamity will surely destroy the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be punished. But the Lord will redeem those who serve him. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned. But you know, like we have to say, and you know this, in order to make this message realistic, we got to address the obvious elephant in the room. Yeah, people do get persecuted for their faith. Look at what happened to Jesus. Look at the many martyrs through the years. Look at the Christians who still are persecuted for their faith. It happens. But the Lord protects those. You see, because ultimately, our eternal life in heaven is the life that we don't want anything to happen to. We're only on this earth for a short period of time. I was thinking about this the other day. I was thinking about something that happened 40 years ago in my life. And when I look back, it didn't seem like it was that long ago. So in 40 years from now, there's a good chance I'm not going to be here. I'd be 101. You know, so when I look at my life in terms of in 30 years from now, I'll be 91. 30 years, 40 years, 20 years. As you get a little bit older, and I still can't believe I'm at a point in life when I'm looking at things this way, you realize that this life on Earth, it's not that long. Even if you're 20 years old, even if you're 15, you know, you understand that. Our life begins when we're conceived, when God creates us. And our life has no end. On Earth, it has an end. So overall, the life that we wish to preserve is our eternal life. We don't want to spend eternity in hell, bottom line. And if we cling to God and work on this relationship with Him every day, we're not only will we have peace, we are not guaranteed to have a problem-free life. We are not guaranteed that people won't persecute us. We are not being guaranteed a suffering-free life. We're guaranteed joy and peace. Sometimes we have to work at it. Sometimes it will solely be in our head. We won't feel it. But it's possible through a relationship with God. And that relationship with God, our Father, comes through accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That's how it happens. So I encourage you, look over this psalm, depending on your version, the version of your Bible you're using. You might have different wording, but it's Psalm 34. Some really good stuff in there. And turn to Him. If you're afraid, turn to Him. Jesus, help me. I'm scared. Help me, Jesus. And if you feel any semblance of peace, thank Him for it. Again, the peace might be in your head. Depending on how bad your problems are, that peace might not, you might not feel it. But that's okay. You don't have to feel it for it to be there. That peace might come in your mind when your mind says, I know Jesus is with me, and I know He loves me, and I know He can handle this. That's your peace. All right, I gotta run. I want to thank you for, I really enjoyed that, Psalm 34. Don't forget, read it again. I enjoyed hanging out with you today. God willing, I'm going to be back here tomorrow. That's my plan. I hope you can join me right here on Following the Truth. Don't forget to check out my website, followingthetruth.com, for more information about my work, to pre-order my new book, Let Go of Anger and Stress, or to make a donation to my ministry. God bless you, and we will talk to you next time.